This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
June Ariano Jakes is the mother of 5 adult children and the grandmother of 4. While she worked by day as a licensed child care provider, June spent literally thousands of nights poring over books and articles in the search for answers to help her son Nathan battle what would become a 20-year-long heroin and cocaine addiction. Addiction, A Mother's Story, is June's account of addiction through a mother's eyes. The book portrays the progression of Nathan's addiction as the chapters unfold, how his addiction progressed to devastating and life-altering circumstances, and how it affected Nathan, his family, and his mother. June recently told the Surrey Leader newspaper, "There are so many books written by professionals, but there isn't a whole lot written by parents of addicts." We're joined in the studio today by June Ariano Jakes.
Welcome to People First Radio, June.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
You're right near the start of your book, and I'm quoting your writing. "I feel it is important to note that family dynamics or situations of emotion or mental neglect or abuse do not in themselves cause addiction. At the same time, studies have repeatedly shown that the majority of addicts have suffered sexual, physical, or emotional abuse as children." Tell us about that acknowledgement and why it was important to speak in that direction.
It was really important to me, Kevin, because I think for too long we looked at addiction as whose fault is this, or, you know, who did something wrong? And I think for a long time, families almost kept addiction in a sense like a dirty little secret, almost, where you know, you didn't come out and say my son or my daughter is addicted, because that obviously is that a reflection on us. We're taking good care of our child. At the same time, so many people that are suffering from addictions clearly have undergone mental or emotional sexual abuse. That is a reality. Is that indicative of our society as a whole? You know, I don't know that. But certainly those two aspects were important to me.
You've portrayed the insanity of addiction and the ongoing interventions to save your son's life during a very lengthy period of his ongoing addiction. But Nathan also had periods of sobriety or clean time along the way during this long struggle. So you knew Nathan, your son, and you know Nathan, your son, but you've also met the inner addict, or the addict within, as you called him, or the addict. Tell us more about that experience.
I really think of my son, Nathan, as really two different people, absolutely. And he is a very kind, loving, generous, wonderful, wonderful son, brother, friend, who would drop everything in a heartbeat to help you when he's clean and sober. Nathan the addict is a whole different personality, where addiction is really a very selfish disease in a sense, in that everything that the addict needs to do to acquire their drug, that becomes all-consuming to them. So it doesn't seem to, it blocks that, I guess almost that empathy or conscious level of, I'm hurting somebody else by stealing or by lying. That's gone with the selfishness of addiction. So they are he is definitely two different people as far as Nathan, my son, and Nathan, the addict. And I never take anything that, as a mom, that he says or behaviors that happen as an addict, that does not take away from my son. I recognize, I don't take personal offense to something that he may say to me in his addiction, because I know him as the person is not that same. He's not the same as his addiction, I guess. That would be a way of putting it.
In the chapter, Holding On to Our Power and Letting Go, you write the following: "If you waver even slightly, it is only a matter of time before your addicted loved one becomes the puppet master again. And June, you describe a kind of puppetry chain which exists between the drug or the drug merchant, the drug user, and the codependent supporters or helpers of the drug user. What was your experience of this puppetry scenario?
You know, exactly that. A drug addict becomes like a marionette. The drugs are the ones pulling all the strings. You know, whatever the addiction requires, the addict has to do that to feed that addiction, to fuel that desire. And at the same time, as parents, I often think that our addicted loved ones, in their case, are the puppet master. And we are constantly either walking on eggshells, so maybe as not to set them off, or whatever their mood happens to be on a particular day, that almost seems to become our mood or how our outlook on the day is. If they're having a good day, as parents, we're having a good day. When they're having a really difficult time, we're devastated. I mean, we're devastated all of the time because of the addiction, but we're definitely impacted each day according to what the addict in our lives is doing on that particular day.
You acknowledge your lack of anger during all of this. You acknowledged it in your book. But I certainly found myself becoming quite angry as I read the book. The endless manipulations, lies, and disappointments that you and your family were subjected to. Tell us about your experience of anger or non-anger, as it might be, in all of this.
I really have had problems my whole life with anger and with saying no. I am a person that generally just does not get angry. And I know, as I mentioned in my book, that's unhealthy because we are supposed to have that emotion of anger. But definitely, I can see how each person in my family in particular, how each one of us dealt with and still deals with Nathan's addiction. I no longer own my home because of the amount of money over the years, $460,000 that I spent into treatment programs for my son. This past year, I became ill, so I had to sell my home because I could no longer make my payments. So I had to sell it to pay that off. And my daughter said to me at one point, she says, "Aren't you angry, Mom, that, you know, you've worked 60 hours a week your whole life. You could be retired having a peaceful life, and instead you're renting an apartment." And, you know, I had to say, you know what, no, I am not angry because I don't know if at any one of those times something that I did, maybe some of that money that went into helping Nathan get into another treatment program, maybe that saved his life at that time. Of course, I mean, I'll never know that. Would I do the same things today as I did throughout this 20-year journey? No, because I realize today that it doesn't matter how much money I can, you know, put towards a treatment program. In the end, Nathan has to want it more than I want it for him. And I think as parents, we so often want our children to be well because we love them. We want a better life for them, that we're willing to just about do anything to try and help that happen.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness, coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
Nar-Anon is a 12-step program for friends and family members of drug addicts. Nar-Anon is complementary to, but separate from, Narcotics Anonymous, just as Al-Anon is complementary to Alcoholics Anonymous. The first step in the 12 steps of the support group Nar-Anon is, we admitted we were powerless over the addict, that our lives had become unmanageable. But the first step in a long journey can sometimes be the hardest one to take. Codependency can be a terrible taskmaster. The concept of codependence comes from the pioneering work of Alcoholics Anonymous and the realization that the problem was not solely the addict, but also the family and friends who constituted a network for the alcoholic. Addiction, A Mother's Story is June Ariano Jakes' account of addiction through a mother's eyes. The book portrays a progression of her son Nathan's addiction, how it has progressed to devastating and life-altering circumstances, and how that addiction affected Nathan, his family, and his mother. June's account is a bold, tell-all book that candidly portrays the lengths a parent can go to in order to help, heal, fix, save, or take care of a child well into the depths of that child's addiction. We're joined in the studio by June Ariano Jakes.
Tell us about Naranon and how it impacted your life.
It impacted me hugely, and I can't stress more or more strongly that anyone who has a child or a loved one who is battling an addiction, please find a Naranon group in your area, a support group. I went in thinking as a parent, you know, we fix things for our kids. Something goes wrong, we're the go-to person and we help them find an answer. And for the longest time, Kevin, I believed that there was something that I could do, say, to cure my son's addiction. Because I couldn't believe that there was nothing that I could do. If I love my son and he knows how much I love him, that should be enough. If we get him into treatment, that should be enough. I thought that I could help him get well. I really did believe that I did have the power. I may not have found it yet, so I kept trying, thinking, okay, that didn't work, but something else that I do is going to. And Naranon was so instrumental in saying to me, you are powerless over this disease. And, 20 years later, I still have to say to myself every day, yes, I am powerless over this disease.
In chapter 9 of your book, you write the following: I just could not seem to grasp the concept that I was powerless over his addiction. My thinking was, I'm his mother, for God's sake. It's my role as a mom to help my child. And you've been speaking about that. And you asked yourself in the book, what am I missing? Tell us more about that struggle with step 1, the admission of powerlessness.
Oh, that took me a long time. That was probably the hardest step to, of all the 12 steps, the hardest one for me to really get on board with, because I figured there's something I'm missing, but I can cure this, or I can help him find sobriety. You don't realize until you walk the journey with an addict how unbelievably powerful the pull of addiction is. And I think, you know, as a society, so often people judge the addict. They have a sort of a stereotypical idea of what an addict is or where they've come from. And the truth of the matter is, addicts are wonderful, caring, loving people who, because of a choice they made at that time, a moral choice to try something that was potentially addicting, not thinking that they were going to become addicts, but they've gone down that road. And we as parents walk that journey with them.
I read your book in its entirety, and one thing that I noted about it, and I found it very interesting, was you have many short chapters. Each begins with a saying that's attributed to a specific individual. And it occurred to me that this book could also be used in a sense as a kind of meditation for parents who are going through similar things, in which they can choose to read a chapter every day. What was it like to write the book, and how has the writing of the book affected you?
I took 3 years to write the book, Kevin. And then I sat on it for about a year because I was concerned of how it might impact my son. But I did speak to him about it a lot, and he said, no, you know, Mom, this is a story that should be told. He didn't want to read it because he said, I know what's in it. You know, as a parent, we're going through these situations, and you go through them, and then you deal with it, and then another situation comes up, and you deal with it. And you don't realize sometimes, I didn't realize how many situations I was dealing with until all of a sudden it was down there, and I read it and had to go, wow, there's been a lot of things that have gone on, and not half of the things have been covered in the book, but these, the ones in the book were major ones, definitely. But it really, it impacted me in that it made me realize how much I have gone through as a parent, how much my other four children have gone through as siblings, and how very, very much and what a painful journey addiction has been for my son.
June Ariano Jakes, that's all the time that we have for our interview today. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us right here in the studio.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate it. And if anyone wants to go on my site, Kevin, it's www.addictionamotherstory.com, and parents can leave messages or interact, and I would appreciate it.
June Ariano Jakes is the mother of five adult children and the grandmother of four. Addiction, A Mother's Story is her account of her son Nathan's descent into addiction and where it took June, her family, and their lives. You can find Addiction, A Mother's Story at Amazon.ca or at bookstores across the Lower British Columbia mainland. Another location you can find that book is at Nanaimo Maps and Charts, which is number 8 Church Street. You can find June Ariano Jakes online at addictionamotherstory.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.